Good morning. We're going to start a series of talks this morning entitled Crucifying Personal Sense. Now, this message is for those of us who have spent some amount of time diligently practicing the principles of the Infinite Way, learning the letter of truth, so that when we are confronted with a discord, we have been knowing that this picture, this mental image, has no power, no law, no cause. Only God is here. Only God is present, and God is the only power, the only law, the only cause, and therefore the only effect can be God itself expressed. This message is for those of us that have learned at that point to be still and listen. We have learned how to meditate, how to become quiet inside. We have learned how to contemplate truth to a point of stillness in order to bring forth harmony where the discord appeared to be. In short, this message is for those of us who have perhaps many years' experience in the Infinite Way and the application of the letter of truth to specific problems. If you have not done so, if you have not yet learned to apply the letter of truth to specific problems, if you have not yet learned how to contemplate, leading to a point of stillness in which you listen, in which you meditate, then you should not be listening to this talk. You should continue working with the principles that you find in the books, practicing the presence, the art of meditation, living the Infinite Way, and put this talk in a file somewhere and leave it alone for a season or two. And for the rest of you, those that suspect there's something deeper a higher state of consciousness, those of you that are perhaps growing weary because the principles no longer seem to work like they once did, then this is for you. Again, I repeat, if you listen to this and you haven't done the work It's going to confuse and delay your progress. It will actually be a detriment to your growth. So be honest about who you are. And for those of you that are ready to find something deeper than the letter and the application of principles, we will continue. The crucifixion of personal sense. I suppose we should start with, what is personal sense? What is a personal sense of existence? Well, that covers the entire parenthesis in which most of us find ourselves, doesn't it? A personal sense of life is anything and everything connected to a person. The words I, me, and mine . The personal life that began on this date, at this time, in this country, in this town, with this family, as this sex, the personal life that is so many years old, lived here, went there, did that. The personal life that is this many years old, this tall, weighs this much. The personal life that is married or single or divorced or separated. The personal sense of life that has a partner or is alone. The personal sense of life that had these experiences growing up. And, of course, the personal sense of life that is rapidly approaching an end. But there are other aspects of that personal life. My personal income. My personal checking account, savings account, investments. My supply. My generosity. My giving, my philanthropy, my sharing, my spouse, my family, my friends, my enemies. My body, my health. My nutrition, my antioxidants, my weight problem, my favorite dish, my best friend, my favorite movie, my house, my car, my possessions. Yes, all of this is a personal sense of self. It's a personal life. 1 in 4 billion. And it's different from yours, and yours, and yours, and it's mine. That, all of that, everything we have just mentioned, and more. My intelligence, my stupidity, my sense of humor. I am clever, I am witty. I play music. I make talks. I write books. I cook. I'm industrious. I'm ambitious. I'm a good businessman. I'm a good friend. I'm a loyal friend. I am loyal to my husband. I am loyal to my wife. I don't cheat. I don't steal. Oh, I guess I have to confess some white lies. All of this, and more, is a personal sense of existence. Pretty much everything you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell is a personal sense of life. And personal sense must be crucified. Just as it was with Jesus Christ. Personal sense had to be crucified, just as it does in us. Now, probably we thought we were going to, well, we came to the infinite way and we practiced spiritual principles. We studied the books. We learned the letter of truth. We began to see a few miracles right before our eyes. I know I did. We saw our supply, maybe it doubled or even tripled. We saw new friends, new companions on life's journey. We saw our health improve and problems just dissolve. Quite miraculous. And all smiles, we went forth, we had found Aladdin's lamp, and all we needed to do was rub it. And we could have our heart's desire. What's wrong with health and companionship and supply? Nothing. Those are beautiful things. Wonderful. And so we thought we would apply these principles and walk off hand in hand into the sunset. And life would be beautiful and joyous and serene. And perhaps it's now several years later and that hasn't happened. Perhaps now we have problems we can't seem to meet. We are told in the writings that before there is a resurrection and an ascension, there must be a crucifixion. And not too many of us wanted to look at that in great detail. That implies suffering, doesn't it? Yes. Let's look at some of the statements of those who have walked before us. Online the other day, someone posted a wisdom from the book The Infinite Way. And in that wisdom it said, "I die hard." And of course that's Joel speaking to us. And if you've read the spiritual journey of Joel S. Goldsmith, then you've read that letter which he wrote to the Father. This after having seen the principles work over and over and over, hundreds if not thousands of healings taking place through him in meditation. And yet he felt as if he was a total and complete failure. He had not been able to adequately bring forth the message, the real message of the Infinite Way. And so he felt like a failure, and he wrote a letter, a beautiful letter, to his Father. Let's see if I can find it. And this, of course, would be an example of passing through the crucifixion of personal sense. And here is the letter. "This past night has been a continuation of nightmares. For weeks now, my soul has jumped back and forth between hope and despair, joy and anguish, doubt and confidence. But last night came the hell of the realization of separation from God. Today, all ties with this world are broken. Today, all concern for persons and events is gone. All hope of good here is departed, and I look forward to the unknown with a light heart. This is the end of the road. From 1928 to 1952, I really tried. My life, my work, everything went into what I believed was a search for God and God's work. It is 24 years, almost to the month, and it has been a failure. Oh yes, a glorious failure, not one to be ashamed of. This work is a failure only after 24 years of having honestly, earnestly, faithfully lived up to the highest I knew or was capable of. 24 years of giving to the fight, days and nights, as complete a sacrifice of personal interest as has been possible. So, if failure, I can at least glory in it. There are no regrets, since my best went into it. I cannot feel that had I done so and so, it might have been different. Up to my understanding and capacity, I gave it all and failed. So my failure is my triumph. I glory, glory, glory in a great failure. And if a failure it must be, rejoice, for it is a grand and noble failure. I know now that when men are sad and down over their failures, somewhere they know that they did not give their utmost all. I have given my utmost all so I can joy and rejoice in my failure. And so, having nothing left to place on at his feet, here it is. Take my failure. It is the only perfect thing I have to offer up. Take it. Father, a beautiful, perfect failure, a bright and shining failure. It is all I have, and it is yours, your son, Joel. 1954, that was a year before the Kailua study series, in which he, in that Kailua study series, he tries yet again to give this message to the world. But in 1954, he knew, with no doubts whatsoever, he was a complete and total failure to try to get this message of the infinite way across. If you think that this path is nothing but roses, you are mistaken. So when Joel says, I die hard, in the Wisdom in the Infinite Way book, he means it. He knows. Personal sense does not want to be crucified. Yet, if personal sense is not crucified, there is no resurrection. There is no ascension. There is no progress. Well, we might fool ourselves into thinking we're making all kinds of progress. But the truth is, there is no progress beyond a certain point until personal sense is crucified. And so everything that we mentioned in our examples of what personal sense is must be crossed out. Why, that's the totality of me, you say. I'll be the hole in the donut. You don't know what you will be until you pass through the experience. This is just the mind talking. This is personal sense defending its position. Oh, don't go down that road. This is the same temptation that came to the master in the garden of Gethsemane. Oh, please, if there's any way, let this cup pass. Surely you don't ask that of me. Yes, I do, says God. Personal sense must be crucified. So, what is this crucifixion of personal sense? How do we go about it? Here's a clue from the 1959 Maui Advanced Work. The real spiritual crucifixion is when you yourself crucify yourself in attempting to give up all miracle works. You see how you crucify yourself when someone asks you for help, and you have to train yourself, and here's the crucifixion, train yourself not to give any help. not to try to reduce a fever, reduce a lump, overcome deafness or blindness. You will see how you are crucifying yourself, your personal sense. When you experience God, miracles take place out in the world, but don't get hypnotized by the miracle. Every time that you restrain yourself from trying to improve human conditions, you are crucifying your own personal sense, and you are rising into the higher state of spiritual sonship. There's a little hint what crucifying personal sense is. What he's saying is, crucifying personal sense begins in your meditation. We reach a place on the spiritual journey, on the spiritual path, in our spiritual unfoldment, where everything we have used up to this moment must be abandoned, thrown right out. All of it, every single statement of truth, every scripture that has ever, when you applied it to your life, improved your life, every thought of truth, every spiritual experience you've ever had, all of that must be abandoned. This is a total crucifixion of personal sense. You cannot cling to anything. You cannot lean onto your understanding, your previous experience, yesterday's manna. The crucifixion of personal sense takes place within your being, and you crucify yourself willingly. Willingly. Is it uncomfortable? Is it even painful? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. And Joel is very much aware of that. In the spiritual interpretation of Scripture, listen to what he says about it. Here, we leave old landmarks, but whether we will be glad to see them disappear depends on how firmly we grasp the new idea. The crucifixion of personal sense must begin at some point on your journey within yourself, and you yourself crucify yourself, and it's very, very uncomfortable. And so he says, we start out from a well-known city, a familiar state of consciousness. We know where we are. We know well the routine of affirmations, denials, formulas, set prayers given us by others to memorize and repeat. Now, that's the letter of truth. It's perfectly fine for the newcomer, but not for you who have been on this path for some time. That's why you're uncomfortable. That's why it's no longer working. The inner voice is telling you, you're going to have to be crucified. Now you can turn to that voice and say, isn't there some way this cup can pass from me? I don't want to do this. Or you can turn to that voice and say, I am ready. Show me how. So you have reached a place where, when a discord is presented to you, in the past you have said, this has no power, no cause, no law. It's nothing. God is the only presence, the only law, the only substance, the only activity. And listen to what Joel says about that type of meditation and contemplation. For you that are ready, we start out from a well-known city, a familiar state of consciousness. We know where we are. We know well the routine of affirmations, denials, and formulas. In our present state of unfolding consciousness, well, we have lots of props upon which to lean. We can always fall back upon statements uttered by wise men of old, and newer ones by men and women of our own time. We can even call upon that ancient cliché, let God take care of it. God'll do it. There are well-worn prayers and statements in the Bible, well-known prayers and formulas in modern metaphysical writings. Yes, our present state of consciousness gives us much on which to lean. Yet somehow all of that is going to have to be cast aside. All of it. You are not allowed to lean on any of it. What did you think he meant when he said, leave your nets? Launch out into the deep. That wasn't uttered to the newcomer, the beginner on the path. That was uttered to you, who are ready. You who have worked long and hard with the letter. Years and years. Many years. And so, about this crucifixion of all of our old ways and methods, everything that makes up personal sense of existence, a personal spiritual growth, to that Joel says, when, however, as now, we agree to leave these old landmarks, we enter a state of consciousness with but few guideposts and even fewer aids. In this new land, you will find yourself much alone with God. It will become necessary to make your direct contact with infinite being, with the infinity of your own being. Standing where you're standing, it will no longer help you to talk about God, to pray to God, to lean on God, or to think about God. Now you must become one with God. You must consciously feel your oneness and receive direct illumination or guidance. You must let go of every prop, every scripture, every statement, every thought, every prayer, everything upon which you have leaned. You must do that in your inner temple, in your meditation. You must let go of everything upon which personal sense has leaned. At first, he says, when you close your eyes in silence, there may be a sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach as you realize that here you are at last, alone with God, and God nowhere in sight or hearing. It may be like swimming in an ocean and all of a sudden realizing that you have gone out of sight of land with no guidepost to tell you which direction to head for. The first experience when you turn into the silence without words, thoughts, or statements of any kind can be very confusing and doubt-engendering. It will require patience and perseverance. So that tells us Joel has been there. And that tells us it's going to be very uncomfortable. Of course, it's a crucifixion. You're going to have to crucify your own personal sense of existence. You're going to have to do that yourself. You're going to have to drive the nails in while personal sense is squirming and screaming and causing you doubt and concern and feeling that God is a million miles away. You're going to have to drive those nails in anyway, willingly, because the Father requires it. The Father requires a complete death before the resurrection and ascension. And so you're going to have to willingly drink from this bitter cup. Every bit of personal sense must be crossed out. If you think there is something good about you, it's going to have to be crossed out, forgotten, left behind. If you think there's something bad about you, a defect of character, a shortcoming, some place where you're failing, like Joel thought, it's going to have to be crossed out. Every scripture, every prayer, every thought about God is going to have to be crossed out. The fear that you'll be the hole in the donut, just a nothing, has to be crossed out. Oh, my friends, this is a complete and utter crucifixion of personal sense. But I suspect somewhere inside of you, you've known, haven't you? You've known. So what must I do to consciously crucify personal sense? What must I do? Well, we're going to start with meditation. How to cross out personal sense in your meditation. Because each experience of crucifying personal sense in your meditation results in the crossing out of personal sense appearing out here. So as always, it must be an experience that takes place within. Now, let us take a break and have a moment of silence. We know that after the crucifixion, there is a resurrection and after the resurrection there is an ascension. And for years we have read about the resurrection and the ascension, and we have thought how beautiful it will be when someday we ascend. But that's not correct. We will never ascend until there is a crucifixion. Personal sense will continue along in the driver's seat, and we will add pretty words, pretty statements of truth, pretty scriptures, and a language of metaphysics and mysticism, and we'll be able to speak eloquently on truth and scriptures and their hidden esoteric meaning, but personal sense will still be in the driver's seat. You'll still be in the center of a personal sense of existence. You will not ascend unless personal sense in you is crucified. And so important is it that Joel has specific classes that he gave in order to help you with your own crucifixion. And we are going to review some of these in the talks ahead. For today, I wanted to bring to your attention, you are going to have to crucify yourself, your personal sense of existence, your personal sense of life, your personal sense of possessions, your personal sense of body, your personal sense of prayer, your personal sense of meditation, your personal sense of wisdom, or your personal sense of mediocrity or stupidity, your personal sense of failure. You're going to have to take the hammer and the nails and crucify it yourself. And so, because we know that it starts in our meditation, and because we know that it must have something to do with leaving our nets and launching out into the deep, leaving behind statements and scriptures, thoughts and formulas, affirmations and denials, since we know it has something to do with standing still, that's where we'll begin our next talk. Leave your nets and launch out into the deep. Again, I repeat, if you have not worked hard and long with the principles of the Infinite Way, including the affirmations and denials, then do not listen to the next talk because you are not ready. But if you have worked hard and long, and you are ready to go through this crucifixion, this initiation, if you are ready to leave all and follow me, then the next talk will begin the instructions for crucifying a personal sense of existence. We will begin the crucifixion, which will result in your resurrection out of mortality, out of personal sense, and finally your ascension up over any personal sense into Christ. Until then, I bid you my Father's peace. It won't be long.